doesn't matter if these voices in your head say yes or no.
Been a hot minute, huh?
It's been a hot minute in a cold winter, but we're here, finally, talking about Tokimeki Memorial, Heartthrob Memorial.
I was going to go with we're finally back performing for you, but I mean, I guess...
You see, I always go with that. I can always go with that is the thing, and I can't take it anywhere.
Fair enough. I mean... You are the first, I mean, like, you are just the first member of the DK crew. Like, it's, that's kind of the only place that can go.
To see, and there are other places that you can go with it, but it's not great.
Yeah, because, like, you're always going to end up putting your hands together if you want to clap.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because I want to clap for Ultimate Despair Reprise, a Danganronpa recap podcast going through the entire Danganronpa series, one murder at a time. I am the ultimate host, Kyrie.
I'm the ultimate fangirl, Jennifer.
And I'm Jackie.
Hello, Jackie.
I'm something ultimate. I don't know. We're going to find that out.
Ultimate. We're going to figure it out.
Ultimate 3 question marks.
Exactly. That's the classic.
Rantaro got that treatment.
Exactly. Because we're talking about the prologue in Chapter 1 of Danganronpa V3, the last Danganronpa game. We're starting on our journey to, like, we're starting on our journey to the end of our journey.
Yeah. There's no more Danganronpa after this one. They took everyone involved with the series out behind the shed, and bam, they old yellered them. It's really tragic when you think about it, but that's just how businesses work in this day and age.
Technically, exactly. There is one more, but it is a virtual board game situation, which wants to charge you real money for each of the characters. So,
oh, fuck yes.
Yeah, you,
fuck
you
yes.
Want to spend
okay.
Real money.
They should actually
for, like...
take the people who made that out behind the shed in Old Yellerum. That's
exactly.
That was like Junko's plot to cause despair, right? Like, wait, we had like an actual anime about this.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to make people kill each other and themselves over gacha games. Like, yes, that's Danganronpa. That's
spend $200 of real world money to get like Bikini Junko SSSR.
I will never stop thinking about that guy who spent like $3,000 for you know Jean Alter in Fate Go and like didn't get her.
Is that? I heard that is the reason why all these gacha games now have like. A pity system.
Yes.
Is because of that guy.
Almost explicitly mm-hmm. because of that guy.
Wow.
Well, you know what game doesn't have a pity system? Danganronpa V3.
The V stands for victory, as Kadaka put it.
Yeah, the V stands for something.
That's right. When did this game come out? This came out 2019, right?
No, it was like 2017.
That was 2016. Yeah, no, it's okay. Gotta be 2016. Yeah, because this predates a lot of stuff. Like, it's solidly like I think we established it was like a PS4 game, like early into the console's life cycle.
Oh right. Oh man, the PS4 being that old.
Oh, it kills me. It tears me apart. I can't. Bloodborne was 2015.
Are you kidding me?
Bloodborne has been out for almost it's been out for a decade. 9 years. It's been out for almost 9 years. I think it came out in May 2015. And that's it will crazy. Be, yeah, no, that shit's fucking crazy. Somebody stop the passage of time. I want to get off. Dark Souls 3 came out in 2016.
Yeah, this game. Gosh, yeah, 2016, I think. Yeah, I think I only remember 2019 because that's when I played it.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
But yeah. I've played this before, I played all these before, but we're here, we're revisiting it, we're in V3 town now.
Yeah, speaking of things we've played before, one of the reasons we decided to do, like, the daily life of chapter one, school life, daily, I forget what the actual technical term of it is, the first part of
daily
chapter,
life, daily yeah. Life.
The reason we decided to do the daily life of chapter one was because the, prologue kind of... outside of a few moments, it kind of just retreads ground that the demo covered, you know?
Right, which we covered the demo, like, a couple months ago.
6 months ago, baby.
We are so on time with this podcast.
Listen, episodes are ready when they're ready. You can't rush exactly. Perfection, and you can't rush this either.
Yeah, but I think it would be good... to, like, so the premise so far as we know is this is the ultimate, like, school of gifted juveniles. This is like, even though, like, the opening movie shows bits from, like, 1 and 2 and even the 3 anime, it is basically implied that this is a whole new continuity. Like, Hope's Peak isn't mentioned at all.
Yeah, it's like an alternate timeline.
Yeah, and things are different. Things are not that different, because, like, the opening of, like, this game starts with our lead, Kaede Akamatsu, just, like, in this locker, which is very reminiscent of how 1 and 2 opened, but she's in very plain clothes, and then they do the opening again.
Yeah, that was really good. I gotta talk about that. I feel like... Danganronpa V3's pitch to me, at least at this point, feels like, what if we redid Danganronpa 1, but, like, everybody in charge of making sure Danganronpa 1 happens is a doddering incompetent? Mm-hmm. So, like, we have the Monocubs who are just, they are just worse Monokumas in every way. They give our protagonists brain damage. They kidnapped them too hard. They gave us all brain damage. So they had to give us, like, they had to blast our memories back into us.
Right. Where it was just like, oh, we blasted their memories too hard. They forgot their ultimate skill.
Yeah, like, that fucking, like... rocks. which, it also ties into, like, you know, how much they need to brute force things to happen. Because, like, in Danganronpa 1, there wasn't a lot of group cohesion immediately. And in Danganronpa V3, mm-hmm. everybody's immediately like, okay, yeah, we're going to end the killing game. Fuck this. You're not going to fucking lock us in here, you assholes. We are not going to turn on each other. And it takes and it feels like there's a lot more group cohesion. I mean, Kaede is also, in contrast with previous protagonists, she's a lot more headstrong. She's a lot more sure of herself. She's less analytical. But, I mean, that's what Shuichi is for, and she's kind of, and so mm-hmm. she kind of is able to, I mean, granted, we fail, march the party fail through the sewers. Oh my god, that was some fucking, I love the I Wanna Be the Guy segment. I think it's really funny.
It's so funny.
I love that there are, they look like coins, but they're bombs.
Yep.
And
the funny thing is,
it's like the controls are super slidey. Like, it's intentionally really frustrating, and I really like that because, I mean, of course, textually it's supposed to be.
Yeah. The funny thing is, that section is beatable at that point. It doesn't, like, end the game, but it does give you a secret scene. But there is a way to reach the end of the tunnel.
Oh, that makes me so sad. I need to go back and do that then.
It's really fucking hard, is the thing.
Yeah, I think you'll just make yourself miserable because that platforming section is purposefully incredibly shitty.
Well, I'm playing Danganronpa. Anyway. I'm already making myself miserable.
Good point. I think this would be a good time to quickly like kind of run through the cast. I've put together a list of the cast and their voice actors. Like, figured we'd go through this because this is the last time we're going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop a doc in our group chat, and we're just kind of going to cycle through this. I'll start like kind of at the top. We have our protagonist, Keide Akamatsu, who is the ultimate pianist, voiced by Sayaka Kanda, who had previously played Junko in the stage version of Danganronpa, and was the voice for Anna in the Japanese dub of Frozen, and sang the OP and ED of Danganronpa 3. Sadly, unfortunately, she died at 35 in 2021. Which is a real shame because she was incredibly talented. I really love her voice performance in this game as well.
Mm-hmm. And those opening and ending songs are terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on the English side, we have Erica Harchletter, Harlacher, mm-hmm. Who previously voiced Kyoko Kirigiri, also the voice of Anne Takamaki from Persona 5 and Kurapika in the current dub of Hunter x Hunter. Her first voice acting role was apparently Battleship, that shooter based on the movie based on the board game.
Incredible.
Jen, you want to take the next character on the list?
Sure thing. We have Angie Yonaga, the ultimate artist, played by Minori Suzuki in the Japanese audio, who also plays Uran in the recent anime Pluto, and Freya Weon in Macross Delta.
Oh, shit.
She
played Freya?
Yeah. Yeah, she apparently was, like, a huge, like, fangirl from Macross and, like, entered into a contest to audition for a Macross role and got it.
Oh, that rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, she started as a singer, and V3 was her first video game role. And in English, she's played by Cassandra Lee Morris, who is Aoi Asahina in Danganronpa 1, Taiga in Toradora, really fun show, and Elfelt in Guilty Gear 3rd.
It's Exard.
Yeah, Exard. Come on.
Yes.
Get it together, Jen.
Get it together, Jen.
Come on, Jen.
And she's also an award-winning audiobook actor.
All right.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. She got nominated for an Audi in 2015.
Yes. Which is, like, that's really cool. Like, a lot of voice actors also, like, they make their... Like, a good number of them make their money through audiobooks as well, and that's really dope.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate that scene is getting taken over by AI right now, but...
Well, I wouldn't say it's being taken over necessarily. I think that people are... AI is... We're going to see the same bubble that we saw with NFTs. AI is going to be a thing for 2 years. It's going to collapse, and everybody who, like, put their money into it is going to be wearing barrels around, you know... Just straight up.
Which is weird because barrels are expensive.
Barrels are so expensive. I don't know how all these guys are unable to afford clothing, but they can afford to drape themselves in a barrel. Like, come on, dog. That's conspicuous consumption.
Takes a lot of work too to like get the suspenders attached to the barrel.
Yeah. And the worst part is when they have that like big clay jug and they're just saying like how dry I am. Like, where did that come from, man? But yeah, that's gonna be basically what the AI bubble's gonna pop. I really don't see AI supplanting voice actors in any serious capacity anytime soon. And honestly, the places where AI is getting this traction are the sort of, same with AI art, it's the sort of people who weren't going to pay for commissions anyway, who weren't going to pay voice actors anyway. It's the same thing with like, you know, kiosks being used to pressure like retail workers, you know, essentially to not form unions. Like, it's a solution for the business, for these business owners, but it's not a long term one. Like, it's not a viable one, and they know that, and we know that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of segues into other subjects, we have Gonta Gokuhara, ultimate entomologist, a Japanese voice is Shunsuke Takeuchi, who voiced Olaf in Frozen and the brawler in Akudama Drive. I still haven't watched that. He performed with Akudama Lotus Drive Juice under the name Jack Westwood. I've heard good things. I've heard mixed things about Akudama Drive. I should give it a shot though. It seems good. It seems interesting.
I really enjoyed it. But go ahead.
So he performed with Lotus Juice under the name Jack Westwood. I don't really know all that much about Shunsuke Takeuchi. But his performance as Gonta so far has been pretty good. It's very, like, you know, it's combined
Gonta
with, like,
is
appearance.
Gentleman.
Sorry?
Gonta is Gentleman.
Gonta is Gentleman, yeah. In English, Gonta is Kaiji Tong, who voiced Hagakure in, you know, previous Danganronpas. And Li Shaolan in Tekken. Sima Zhao in Dynasty Warrior 7, which I have not played, but I do own for some reason.
How did you get a copy of Dynasty Warrior 7?
I don't know how. I just have a copy of Dynasty Warrior 7.
Is it one of those things where it's like, if you have a PS2 or like you have a collection of like PlayStation games, eventually a Dynasty Warriors will show up in your collection?
That is, they call it spontaneous dynastification, and yes, like that is the thing that has happened. It's happened to all of my friends. It's happened to me. I think the thing is, you got to really make sure that the like pH level of all your game shelf is correct, and like, you know, the shelves can't be too cramped, but they can't be too wide. And eventually, you know, you'll have a dynasty. You'll see a dynasty where you're sprouting in the in between your armored core and your mobile suit game, which is a weird place for it to be. Don't get me wrong, but like it will show.
Don't get me wrong.
It will show up. Kaiji Tong also hosts a YouTube channel called Voices of Gaming.
Yeah, so like he does a lot of stuff to just like he's also outspoken talking about, yeah, and outspoken about like working conditions and things like that. So he's a cool guy.
Yeah, I also want to mention that he plays the chief of the detective agency in Master Detective Archives Raincode, and he does a great job in that as just like a panicking person who never wants to do anything.
Word. All right. Next, we got Himiko Yumino, the ultimate magician. She's a real magician, you guys. You have to understand.
Baho.
Voiced in Japanese by Aimi Tanaka, who was Umaru Doma in Himoto Imoru-chan, and provided the voice of Otomachi Una, which is a Vocaloid voice pack. Won a Best Rookie Actress Award at the 10th Seiyuu Awards. But she's quite good here.
I mean, yeah, she won an award for it.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, I mean, she also... Himoto Umaru, I remember. Well, that was like years ago, but that was like a good show. It's one of those shows where like the main girl is kind of the entire point of it. So like... Mm-hmm. Her nailing, like, it, and the fact that it was a good show, she really did, like, nail that role, you know?
I never watched it. I just saw the rippling effect at, like, anime cons, where, like, people just wore her bear
goofy
blanket.
Kigurumi, yeah. It's a hamster.
Yeah.
It's a hamster. Don't,
oh, it's
yeah,
a hamster.
It's not a bear.
Oh, okay.
It's a hamster. Come on. I'm
okay.
Have to beat
I always
up,
get
dog.
Them mixed up. Okay.
It's, you know, aside from the size, bears and hamsters, remarkably similar. Like,
that is true.
If you shrunk me down real small and I looked at a hamster, I'd be like, whoa, is that a bear? I don't know.
Anyway.
I'm trying to get in your corner here, but I can't.
I can't either. In English, voiced by Christine Marie Cabanos, who previously voiced Chiaki Nanami in previous Danganronpas, Azuka Nakano in K-On!, and Madoka Kaname in Madoka Magica. So definitely some like of a particular era of like anime voice acting for this lady. And she does lessons and will teach lessons for new voice actors.
That's cool. Next up, we have Kibo, the ultimate robot, played by Tetsuya Kakihara in Japanese, who's also Simon in Tenga Tapa Gurren Lagann and Jin Kizaragi in Blaze Bloom. He's also fairly active in voicing BL works, including drama CDs.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, like, he has a lot of roles in which he just does, like, drama CDs for boys' love works.
Hell yeah.
Which, good for him. Great for him.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because I didn't recognize his voice as Simone from Gurren Lagann. I feel like that's of course that's a really good thing because, you know, having great range is, you know, that's what separates the, you know, wheat from the chaff of voice actors wise. But yeah, Kakihara is good. Yeah, he's. I might have to check out his BL works.
Hell yeah. And on the English end, he's voiced by Lucien Dodge, who plays Hifumi Yamada from Danganronpa 1, Yuma Cocohead in Master Detective Archives Ring Code, Norba Shino in Mobile Suit Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans, and he's also a guest teacher at New York University.
How was that Master Detective's Archive Ring Code, Jen? How was that? You've since beaten it since the last time we recorded.
Yeah, it's real fucking good. Like, I hope at some point they do port it to a system that doesn't run it as poorly as the Switch, but it's a fantastic mystery, and it does a whole lot to distinguish itself from Danganronpa, so I had a good time.
Maybe that's the next game we check out once we wrap V3.
Yeah,
that could be fun. That could be fun. But next on the list.
Next on the list is Kaito Momota, the ultimate astronaut. Now, Ryohei Kimura voices him in Japanese. He did Akira Takazawa in Eden of the East, Hinata in Angel Beats, among other roles. He won Best Supporting Actor at the 6th Seiyu Awards. In English, we got Kyle Hebert, was Kazuichi from previous games, previous game in Danganronpa.
Previous game, yeah.
Did Gohan in Dragon Ball Z. He's Ryu in Street Fighter. He was a former DJ for Radio Disney. We had him on this podcast once. You interviewed him.
Yeah,
before. Yeah.
I interviewed him.
Go listen to that interview now. What the hell are you waiting for?
I'm gonna give you a sticks. It's like he's like a really talented, really cool guy. But yeah. Like, it was really fun getting the chance to sit down and talk with him about a year or two ago. God, and I just like, shout outs to him and his Gohan performance, just in general, because, like, I love his Gohan just in general in when I watch Dragon Ball Z. Like, he's part of the reason why I prefer the English dub.
Yeah, I'm playing in Japanese language for this particular run through, but I really enjoyed his performance in the English dub. All of his, I'm Kaito Momota, Luminary of the Stars. He's fun.
Yeah. Next on the list, we have Kurumi Tojo, the Ultimate Maid, who is voiced in Japanese by Kikuko Inoue, who was Lust in Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, and Kasumi Tendo in Ranma One Half. This is a very storied voice actor who she's been working since 1988 and still going.
Goddamn, 35 year long career for a voice actor is like very impressive.
Oh yeah, and she's just like incredible in this game and anytime I see the Full Metal Alchemist like voice cast, I love that voice cast. But speaking of, like, really talented voice actors, we have in English Kira Buckland, who voiced Hyoko Sayanji, Jolene Kujo in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and Tumi in Nier Automata. It's been... it's crazy to see like her career trajectory, because she started working as just doing voice acting for Newgrounds shorts.
Oh yeah, no, you can. I mean, those things are still available. You can still like, it is pretty like, and you can kind. It's kind of crazy how you can like see the very start of her as an amateur voice actor and like follow her arc as she gets, you know, more experienced and, you know, takes on higher, like bigger and bigger roles.
Her landing Jolene was like I remember attending a JoJo's panel that she ran at AUSA, just kind of talking about like dreaming about that role. Just being yeah. like, I would love it. If we get to part six, I would love to voice her. And she did.
That's like, I am so happy for her. That's great. Like,
part six was the dreams come true part for JoJo's voice actors.
Yeah, like a lot of people landed roles that they had been like, oh man, I always wanted to do a voice in JoJo. And like, they landed it, and it was, you know, it's great. Like, a lot of people from backgrounds were like, you know, they'd been doing amateur voice acting for like, you know, similar to her. She's been, you know, a lot of people with backgrounds in like, you know, Newgrounds shorts or like YouTube videos and whatnot from like mm-hmm. you know, late thousands, early tens. And it's like, no, we got like, that's like, you know.
It's sick.
It's sick. Also, it's great. It rocks.
She was the first interview I did for this show, right? Which I'm still very proud of that. It was so funny just like DMing her on Twitter when Twitter was still functional, just be like, hey, want to be interviewed for this podcast? And she said, sure. Next up, Jen.
Yep, we have Kokichi Oma, Ultimate Supreme Leader and Best Boy.
That's a strong statement.
That is a really strong statement. We're going to need a lot of evidence to back that one up. I am not keen on him.
Fair enough. In the Japanese voice track, he's played by Hiro Shimono, who plays Scott Pilgrim in Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, and Ryunosuke Naruhodo, the protagonist of The Great Ace Attorney. He believes he was cast in this game because he voices characters that are popular with women. And on the English side, we have Derek Stephen Prince, who played Fuyuhiko in Danganronpa 2. You can tell this was written out by Kirie because the next one is Vimon from Digimon 02.
Come on.
I think Vimon is like a prestige role, though. Like, that's a very distinctive character.
Yeah, but I'm sorry.
I am also a Digimon fan. You're outnumbered.
Thank
Jen.
You, Jackie.
We will kill you.
Thank you. That's right.
Fair enough. And he also played Oryu Ishida in Bleach. And in addition to all that, he's voice acted for several characters in the Power Rangers franchise.
I love Derek Stephen Prince. Like, he just has such a distinct voice, like, just in general. And I think he's, like, a really talented actor. Like, so, I mean, of what I've heard, like, I still prefer the Japanese voice track in this game, but, like, he's still a really good fit for Kokichi in this game.
Yeah, I will say sometimes he is cast in roles where he is playing a very small boy, and sometimes his voice does not match that at all, but he does a really good job as Kokichi.
Yeah. I honestly haven't heard the English cast of... I haven't heard the English renditions of these characters, because I'm a freak weeaboo. I only listen to the Japanese tracks of these sorts of games. Segueing right into Kurekiyo Shinguji, the ultimate anthropologist. He dresses like an IJA officer. Like, he's bad. I don't like him. The character, like, the voice actors both do a really good job. Japanese Kenichi Suzumura does a really good job on him. I'm sure Todd Haberkern also does a really good job on him. I have not listened to his English version. Suzumura also does Hikaru Hitachin in Oran High School Host Club. Don't tell anyone that I haven't seen that yet. And he plays Okita Sogo in Gintama. He was a singer and songwriter for the group Stamen with fellow Danganronpa alum Junichi Suwabe. And in English, you know, again, Todd Haberkorn, who did Teru Teru and from, you know, Danganronpa 2 and Ling Yao. from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and also Death the Kid in Soul Eaters. Okay. He works as a voice director. For Bang Zoom Entertainment.
Oh. Yeah, Todd is a very talented guy.
Yeah, he's like, now I remember watching Soul Eater in English in like 2009, and being like, Death the Kid is the coolest.
Death the Kid is pretty cool.
Soul Eater is such a tragic cool. work. It sucks that the like. That the manga is not that it, the manga ended up not being very good, but like, goddamn, the characters were like they kind of nailed how to sell a character to the audience immediately, you know?
Yeah, and it's incredibly rare also for like a really popular shonen series to feature a woman as the lead. It's awesome.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, in no small part, the like my enjoyment of Soul Eater was due to the delivery of the lines by the English cast.
Yeah,
that was before I became a Japanese only sicko.
Anyway,
shit. Kira, you're taking over for Maki.
Yes, because next on our list is Maki Harukawa, the ultimate child caregiver. In Japanese, is voiced by Maya Sakamoto, who voiced Aegis in the Persona 3 games, and Shiki Ryugi in Garden of Sinners.
Hell yeah.
She performs music in both English and Japanese, and frequently voiced over for Padme in the Star Wars prequels. I actually, at some point, watched, I think, Attack of the Clones in Japanese. That was a trip. But yeah, Maya Sakamoto is pretty talented.
Yeah, no, she's very prevalent. Have... Maya Sakamoto, yeah, like I know she's done like a bunch of roles. I'm gonna look her up real quick because she's been in the industry for a while. She did a role in like Die Buster. She was in she voices the demon lady in Kimetsu no Yaiba. The one that's the doctor. She voices Echidna in ReZero.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, no. Nice.
She's a Xiao Yu in Tekken.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can hear it now. In English is voiced by Erica Mendez, who voiced Ryoko Matoi in Kill la Kill and Annie in Skullgirls. She's the only voice actor here who has not voiced, like, a main Danganronpa character. She's openly ace and also works as a scriptwriter for, like, multiple anime projects. But it was kind of interesting because, like, almost basically everyone in this cast is a Danganronpa alum of some kind. And Erica is the only one who wasn't, although she did have, like, bit roles, I think, in Danganronpa 3, the anime, but nothing major, like the others.
Mm. Yeah. And next we have Miu Iruma, the Ultimate Inventor. In Japanese, she's played by Haruka Ishida, who also played Chihiro Fujisaki in Danganronpa the Stage 2014. And was a former member of AKB48, which I assume is an idol group.
Oh, yeah, it's an idol group. There was an like, anime based off of them.
Huh. Yeah, in which she voices a character in that as well.
Yeah,
but
well,
like...
I think all of them voiced their own characters in the anime. I think it was one of those anime that are, like, basically just extended ads for the primary property, like, be it gacha, manga, or, like, video game. I think it was just that for the idol group. It's, like, some show from, like, 2002, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah. For the English track, she's played by Wendy Lee, who was Akane Owari in Danganronpa 2. Haruhi in, well, The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. And Faye Valentine in Cowboy Bebop. She's been doing this since 1981.
Word. And then we have the other ultimate question mark, you know, aside from myself, we have Rentaro. In Japanese, he's Hikaru Midorikawa, who was Hero Yui in Gundam Wing, oh my god, and Akihiko in Persona 3. This man is extremely prolific. He's got 200 VO credits, over 200 to his name. He's been around. Mm-hmm. English, we got Johnny Young Bosch, who was Hinata in Danganronpa 2. Is Nero in Devil May Cry, Vash the Stampede. He's also lead singer of the band Eyeshine. He does a good. I
saw him live once.
Yeah,
like performing with his band. It was okay.
Yeah, I was there too. No, I wasn't.
You were also at Otakon 2000 fucking something when he performed outside.
Man, if only
he did. He did. He did an outdoor concert. Like I think the day before Otakon, like in this small pavilion and. I don't know, he's okay. He doesn't have, like, the most, like, range as a singer, but he has a lot of passion, and that's what counts. But Johnny is, like, he is the English voice actor.
Oh, yeah, like, when you think of English voice actors, like, Johnny Young Bosch is, like, the English voice. He is in fucking everything. This man has been around town.
Yeah. And his Nero is fucking fantastic in the Devil May Cry games. Like,
oh yeah, no, Nero's a great character in Devil May Cry. One of the only like Japanese games that I kind of insist on playing in English, just because like they kind of pick cream of the crop voice actors, you know.
Johnny has said in interviews that Nero is like his favorite role too. Like, he loves playing Nero.
I remember when Devil May Cry 4 came out, people were not super keen on Nero. And I thought he was a cool guy. I kind of loved him. And I'm glad that Devil May Cry 5 has, like, universally... Like, I'm sure, like, people came around on Nero as, you know, they got better at Devil May Cry 4 as, like, you know, True Style tournaments went on. I think Devil May Cry 5 really, like... was where people were like, oh yeah, this Nero guy, he kind of rocks. Which is good, because, and like, in no small part because, like, you know, Johnny Young Bosch has, like, done a really good job of, like, rounding his character out and that kind of, you know, he's an experienced voice actor. He delivers lines really well. He knows what he's doing.
But speaking of experienced voice actors, next, we have Ryoma Hoshi, who is the ultimate tennis pro, who in Japanese is voiced by Akio Otsuka, who recently was Thorkell in Vinland Saga, but you might know him as fucking Solid Snake from the Metal Gear Solid series. He also replaced Kobayashi Kiyoshi as the role of Jigen in the Lupin the Third series.
God.
Fucking Akio Otsuka.
Akio Otsuka's delivery as Ryoma is so good.
It's so fucking funny.
Ryoma is just like kind. I was not expecting to like Ryoma. I really like Ryoma. I was like, okay,
so
yeah,
funny.
This like pint size, like this pint size guy doing a Kazuma Kiryu impression is not gonna sell. I'm not gonna ever be sold on this guy. And like. As the game has got, like, literally, we're not even done with the first chapter, and I'm like, man, I hope nothing happens to this dude.
Yeah, he's so cool.
The thing that inspired his character, like, you just read it out loud, where it's just a riff on a Prince of Tennis character, and you're like, oh, that sounds pretty one note, but he's a lot of fun to be around.
Oh, yeah, no, it absolutely reads as a lot. It's a lot more than the sum of its parts, which is crazy, because, like, the parts are, like, surface level parody of a Prince of Tennis character, plus also he's like the goofy proportioned guy like fucking Teruteru or Hifumi. But he's just like, he's just, and oh yeah, he's got a baby face, but his voice doesn't match that. But it's like, oh yeah, no, like this guy kind of rocks. Like, I need to see him use like the iron ball tennis shot thing to like explode a Monokuma or like explode a door and like lead everybody to like the next phase, you know, to safety.
That's right. And in English, he's voiced by Chris Tagliaferra, who previously voiced Gundam Tanaka, Also voiced Muhammad Adil in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and Fugen in Monster Hunter Rise. Guy also apparently will voice double for Vin Diesel, for like, I think for games and like voiceover work. Like, he is Vin Diesel's voice double. He's also like, Chris is also like, he's a class act. Like, he will frequently like go to cons like and put on panels, and he'll do all his voices for the fans. Like, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Next on the list, Jen.
Next, we have Shuichi Saihara, the Ultimate Detective. In Japanese, he's played by Megumi Hayashibara, who is Rei in Neon Genesis Evangelion, and Ranma Saotome in Ranma ½. When she was younger, she trained as a nurse. And for the English voice track, we have Grant George, who played Leon Kuwata in Danganronpa 1, Gilgamesh in Fate Stay Night, and Warrior of Light in Dissidia Final Fantasy. He's also married to Jessica G. George, who's the voice of Sakura Ogami from Danganronpa 1.
Yeah, he kind of had very little to do in Danganronpa 1.
Yeah.
So he's, like, it is kind of funny to see some of these characters and like, oh, we're going to give him, like, a slightly more substantial role, you know?
Yeah.
Here, but, like,
I will say, ahead. In Japanese, Shuichi, Megumi Hayashibara does a good job of giving Shuichi a very, like, androgynous voice. I was kind mm-hmm. of looking at the, I was kind of looking at his character for a little long while, and I was, like, kind of thinking, like, Danganronpa wouldn't be based enough to actually do this, but for, like, Shuichi kind of scans as a butch lesbian. Like there's, he kind of scans as just like, what if, as like a he him lesbian, just from a little bit of distance.
Shuichi has like he's very transmasc coded, like in general.
I don't think he's necessarily scans as transmasc to me. He just scans as like androgynous, like,
mm-hmm.
like, not like, I don't know. I think there's like a, I think there is a bit of gender nonconformity there. I do think Shuichi would just be better if he was just a butch lesbian. I don't know. I'm sorry. I hate to be a pain in the ass about it, but I do think it would be good. We did get the girl on girl in Despair Girls, and I don't know, dog. I think Danganronpa really does need more of that.
That's right. But we do have a big lesbian coming up, so Jackie.
Yeah,
if you could.
I get to. This is my character. Tenko's kind of annoying. I'm not gonna lie. In Japanese, she's voiced by Sora Tokui, who is Nico in Love Live and Rococo in Helk, huh? She's a singer in Milky Homes. That shit's crazy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In English, we got Julianne Taylor, who is Ibuki in Danganronpa 2, Akiha in Tsukihime, and Holly in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and was featured in Adventures in Voice Acting. Tenko is the ultimate Aikido master. She is, the thing is like, she's a lesbian in a way that like is kind of annoying, like in that kind of like mildly derisive way that like, you know, queer characters are kind of represented as, like, you know, like the abhorrent admirer trope, you know, towards what's her name, the ultimate magician,
Himiko.
Yeah. It's kind of framed as, like, I don't know. This might change. It's framed as extremely one-sided and kind of, like, they don't make Tenko endearing, which is fine. I don't ask that every character be made endearing, but it just, it feels kind of flat. I hope they round her out a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I really like Nico Yazawa, and I really like, Sora Tokui, Sora Tokui's, work as Nico Yazawa, And it demonstrates a lot of range that she's, you know, going from, like, that really high-pitched, I'm not going to do a Nico Nico Ni. You can insert one here.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to put it right here.
To, like, Tenko's kind of, like, growling, like, I think she straight up said, like, Kuzudomo as one of her, like, barks.
Yeah, like, one of her barks is, like, very much as derisive, like, Danshi.
Yeah, like, very, like, which I really like, because, like, you know, demonstrates a lot of range. I think range is just the most fun, like, I love when voice actors have range. I'm sorry, I love it. It's just whenever somebody does something I don't expect, whenever somebody does something with their voice I don't expect them to do, I'm like, whoa! I turn into a soy jack. soy jacky unlocked.
Soy jacky unlocked.
Speaking of soy jacks,
that might the Kiri. Title. That might be the.
Sorry, no, don't end me like this. Speaking
next,
of, soy jacks, Tsurugi Shiragane.
Tsurugi Shiragane. I'm picking her up. She's the ultimate cosplayer. In Japanese, voiced by Mikoko Komatsu, who voiced Joey Jones in Hero Man, and Kurio Ando in Symphogear. And she's also the singer for Black Holly, which is the ending song to Bodacious Space Pirates. I love Black Holly. That is a gorgeous song.
Kiri, I love you to death, but one of Hibiki's friends in Symphogear. And then the protagonist of Hero Man is an incredible deep cut.
I really like Hero Man. Come on.
Hero Man? Okay, so I do like Hero Man as well. Have you done an Oops All Anime on it? Audience, pressure Kiri
sure.
to do an Oops All Anime with me on Hero Man. Send in as much mail as you can. Say, we want Jackie. We want Jackie for the Hero Man episode. Now.
Let's... Also in English, she's voiced by Dorothy Elias Fan, who voiced Sayaka Maizano and Chihiro Fujisaki from Danganronpa 1, and of course is Meryl Strife from Trigun, and she will be up, like, in the upcoming Digimon OVA dub. She is reprising her role as TK's mother, like, it is, and I think she has also a few other bit parts in Digimon, but, like... She is, she was also a treat to talk to. She is a still working today, very talented voice actress.
Before we move to the next one, some more, like, mainstream roles that Mikoko Komatsu has done. Maki in Jujutsu Kaisen, Vimirio in Helk, Sugumi in Nisekoi, the protagonist Marika in Bodacious Space Pirates, and one of Nagatoro's friends in Nagatoro. And also Cinnabar in Land of the Lustrous.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And you pointed out that Dorothy Elias Fawn is reprising her role for the upcoming Digimon OVA collection dub, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's worth stating a second time.
It's worth stating how much that they have, like, 80 to 90% of, like, the voice actors from original Digimon in English coming back to voice these OVAs. Like, that's a thing people say that should be done, but is nearly impossible to do, and yet the Mad Lads at Discotheque did it.
It's good shit.
Anyway, Jen, let's go to the principal antagonists real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the bear, the myth, the legend, Monokuma. Voiced in Japanese by Tarako, who also plays Zero Jr. in Virtue's Last Reward, and Kiara in Inuyasha. They also replaced Naboya Oyama after Oyama was sadly diagnosed with dementia. So this was the only Danganronpa thing that Oyama didn't get to do.
Takaro previously also did, like, for Danganronpa 3, the anime, I believe. Or they might have, I'm trying to remember exactly, but, like, yeah, I think Oyama, like, it was the last time she, like, voiced the character was for Ultra Despair Girls. But mm-hmm. this, This is the first and only game that she was replaced for, but go ahead.
And in English, we have Brian Peacock, who also plays Takato Matsuki in Digimon Tamers, Walker Yumazaki in Durarara. And he is the only actor to appear in every single Danganronpa game to date.
Word.
All right.
Rounding it out, we have the Monocubs.
Let's bang through that real quick.
The five little freaks. we're going to blitz right through these guys. In Japanese, they're all voiced by Koichi Yamadera. Spike Spiegel, Cowboy Bebop, Beerus, and Dragon Ball Super. He does all five of them with just different intonations. I think they all use different personal pronouns as well. I can't recall. He does a good job. I think that the Monocubs, I've said them before, they are surprisingly charming. I imagine we're going to get more into that later. In English, they are all voiced by different people, however. You have Monotaro, the red one, is Sean Chiplock. He was Kiyotaka previously in the first game. Monokid, the blue one, is Patrick Sates. He voiced Nekomaru, the infamous shitman. You can hear me kvetching about him for the entire season 2 of Despaircast.
That is right.
Monosuke is our man, Brian Peacock. He's the yellow one. Monophony is Natalie Hoover. Sonya Nevermind, also Danganronpa 2. That's the pink one. That's Monophony's the pink one, not Sonya. But Sonya is kind of pink coded. I don't think she actually
she's
wears
pink coded. But she wears green. It's true.
The green one is Monodam. He's Jason Wishnov. He's Byakuya. That's all I'll say about that. You can hear me fetching out Byakuya throughout the entire first season of Despaircast.
Also, something I forgot to mention, shout-outs to Brian Peacock, who was the other actor I got to interview. You should listen to that. I don't know if I told the story on here of how I got the interview, where I just texted him one day because he had his number on his website.
If you're a voice actor affiliated with Danganronpa or not, and you just want to, like, get interviewed by Kiri, shoot her a text.
Shoot me a text. My number is beep.
Shoot her an email. She's available 24/7. If you wake her up at 1 a.m. and you say, hey, interview me, she'll do it. I've seen her.
I'll do it.
She's done it before. You'll never get the interview from me because it's, you know, it's secret. We locked it away. It's too valuable. Yeah, has all my personal secrets. I really spill it all. I tell all here. You'll find out what happened to Inez.
Yeah.
And listen, we don't want to go down that route.
But yeah, those are our principal cast.
Those are the freaks that are being corralled into the kill school now.
Any standouts for any of y'all? Like that. I mean, Jen has already, like, staked her flag with Kokichi. We know this.
I knew this before we even started Danganronpa 3. I've been dreading meeting this Kokichi guy because I knew what Jen's opinion was on Komaeda, and, I did not end up loving Komaeda as she did.
Which now we have a little pop-up parade of Komaeda, like, on our bookshelf.
This might be jumping a little bit ahead in terms of what happens in this chapter, but I do want to mention Hikaru Midorikawa because his casting in this game is a very funny story. Like they had already written out the characters and everyone knew what was going to happen to Rantaro and the staff since he dies at the end of this daily life. And after Hikaru Midorikawa did his performance as Rantaro, the whole staff was like, man, we really should have gotten this guy to live longer. This just sucks.
Yeah. It is really funny because, like, Rantaro does kind of seem like an interesting character that got, like, he kind of seems like the second Kirigiri. You know, like if there was another, like if there was another support character, you know, I don't know, he seemed like an interesting character, like he had some dynamic going on, and of course he is unceremoniously domed at the end of the chapter, which, or at the end of the first part of the chapter, which kind of very funny. Kind of, actually, I kind of like how unexpected it is too, because they do seed a bunch of things with him, you know?
Yeah, like, there are so many, like, little things about Rintaro that are... Like, you get, like, if you've played the demo, which, before you start this game, you should definitely play the demo, because that's how you get the secret scene with him, like, the very cute scene of him painting nails with Kaede.
With
but
Kaede
also...
and the Ultimate Cosplayer. They're both there.
Yes.
Pointedly, Tsumugi is being a real big bitch about it. She does not like the fact that Rintaro is good at painting nails.
Yeah, but then you get, like, all these moments. Like, I really love that scene, like, before he gets, like, killed. Like, so there's a scene that we walk in on, like, as Kaede, where you, like, how do I put this? There's an argument that is happening in the dining hall, and Kaede's like, okay, hey, guys, what's going on here? And Ryoma is saying, like, kill me. This'll, like, sacrifice me. It's fine. I'm okay with this. And Rintaro basically says, nah, man, I got a plan. I have this. You gotta trust me. And I really like that scene in general because of the clashing of their, like, personalities. And also how, like, he, like, Ryoma has an interesting point, right? Because he's this dour dude.
He's already
right?
on death row. Like, his shit's been fucked so thoroughly. And, like, proficiently by, you know, it's a, I think he, his backstory, if I recall, is that he is a, just, I mean, his back, we talked about his backstory. He killed a bunch of mafiosos who wanted to, like, I would, he's basically, like, he did some vigilante shit, and then they targeted his family, and, like, you know, they put him in jail for the apparent homicide of all the people close to him. If I recall, that's what gave him death row.
Or something like that, yeah.
Something like that. And so he's just like, nobody cares about me on the outside. Only you guys care about me on the inside. Kill me, and then you can live for however long it takes for you to get out. And
right, because
Rintaro's
he,
like,
because...
no, I will not morally compromise. We cannot, if we morally compromise now, we're going to be morally compromised for the rest of the killing game. You know, we can no longer, group cohesion falls apart. You know, I won't put blood on our hands.
And
yeah,
go ahead, Jen.
He also has this interesting moment where he hints at his plan and then becomes deathly serious using one of my favorite little artistic flourishes in V3, where the upper side of his eyes are just completely painted over with or shaded with black. And he's like, so no one do anything unnecessary. You got it?
Yeah, it's a really good, like, the production, something that we, I think, mentioned during the demo episode, but just in general, the production values in V3 are through the roof, like, in comparison to 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. Like, 1 and, like, 1 and, it's not, these aren't, like, indie games, but, like, they were, like, solid, like, double A games, like, not, they didn't, they had, like,
well,
a good amount of money behind them. But like,
yeah, they were double A games that were on the PSP originally.
Yeah, but now they have like a real console, like the full power of a console, and like a good amount of money going into them, and like they're able to take full advantage of that, and it really shows.
Yeah, and also like, what's the name of the artist?
It's Roy Komatsuzaki.
Yeah, her art is just so like stellar. Just in general, like, I, like, there is a cutscene. I'm trying to remember if this is, like, there's a cutscene later that, in which, Shuichi is kind of going over his own backstory, in which he talks about how he got someone arrested, right? Like, he got, like, a killer arrested, right? And there is just this, like, really interesting CG of a like the Danganronpa gray man, but he has this just fierce expression on his face as Shuichi is like recounting this story.
It's so good.
It's so effective. And it's like there's just so many cut-ins in general. Like there is just like there's an abundance. Go ahead.
I really love like obviously like I kind of love the I really love Shuichi's backstory being that like he solved a murder and because it I mean he solved a murder like because he felt it was the right thing to do and it and like turns out it may have extremely not been, and I kind of like that tying into the, you know, the more moral complexity that Danganronpa V3 kind of wants to handle, and I kind of really like that. Like I like that, you know, it ties into the whole idea of like you can do perjury now. You can lie in court. You can, you know, you can be manipulative. You can be kind of a piece of shit in this game. As I understand it, we haven't gotten to that point, but like,
yeah, we haven't gotten to the full trial mechanics quite yet.
But it is like reinforced narratively that like, you know, maybe getting away isn't so bad. Which I think ties into a bunch of different things.
I also really like when it comes to like the ambiguity of it all, and then just also how like this game definitely feels like to me upon rereading it, right, as trying to in some ways address or challenge some of the moral positions that the previous games have held.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we have that scene, and it's extremely funny when we have the I want to be the guy moment where you have the 16 ultimates just like you trying to like jump through the tunnels, and it's exhausting. And it after you do two loops of it, like it is shown that it is taking a toll on everybody's mental and physical health. And at some point, like I think it's Kokichi who, like, when Kaede is like, come on, guys, let's keep going. And Kokichi's like, no, we can't. We can't keep doing this. This isn't working. We need to try something new here.
I like that pointedly. Yeah. He's not saying we need to try something new. He's saying we can't keep doing this. You asking us to keep doing this, you drawing on all of us, is basically the same as if you were just beating us all up. Is it, you know, it's not teamwork at
right,
this point.
Right.
It's bullying. And I kind of like that because, like, the idea of, like, oh, yeah, reckless hope, well, you know, has been, like, hoping recklessly has been, like, a thing in previous games. Mm-hmm. But, like, oh, yeah, you know, we'll simply do it and hope things work out. And it's like, no, you can't. Like, homie, I don't know what to tell you, but, like, you know, making everyone come along, it is kind of a shithead move. I don't think Kokichi... I'm sorry I can't view Kokichi as anything else but a malicious little shit.
Mm-hmm. Which he is.
But he is. He just straight up is a malicious little shit. He's not a good guy. That wasn't coming out of a place of genuine, like, concern for everyone's well-being. So much as he saw that everyone was kind of beat up and he was like, I don't want to do... I personally do not want to do this again. I would rather just kill someone and, like, attempt to... So, like, fuck you. But, like, I mean, he is right. He's the worst person, you know, terrible news. The worst person you know has a good point.
Yeah.
I do like that angle. I do feel like V3 is very much an examination of previous games. And, like, mm-hmm. directly addressing them. And I think, the choice of protagonist. Kaede is, like, you know, as we established, she's, like, very at odds with the previous characters. Like, you know, Makoto and Hinata are, like, both kind of generic everymen. And, like, Kaede has an identity. She's the ultimate pianist. She, you know, she's headstrong. She is pointedly... you know, she is a woman, you know, she has, like, the classic ahoge, but she has, her design specifically contrasts, you know, she's dressed in light colors, she has blonde hair, she wears a skirt pointedly, which is like, which calls attention, she calls attention to herself in ways that the other two characters don't.
Yeah, even, she is,
like, Shuichi feels more in, like, more like a conventional Danganronpa protagonist. But even then, it feels like, you know, his general he seems kind of disinterested in specifically the truth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, he seems interested in the truth, but the truth as a tool, you know? Not really like, you know, everyone needs to know the truth all the time. Everyone needs to know the truth if it's good for them, which I think will develop into everyone needs to know the truth all the time. But as it is, I kind of like that Shuichi kind of sucks, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this game has a really strong cast, and also, like, I appreciate the way that Danganronpa as a trilogy is always in conversation with itself. Like, 2's whole purpose was pointing out that things aren't as simple as the hope-despair situation we set up in the first game, and this game is taking things a step further and just questioning things about this series at every single angle, and that'll just continue as we go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, V3 has, like, a lot of interesting thoughts about Danganronpa as a series, but also just, like I said, I think, like, the cast in general has, like, we have, like, one of the more well-rounded casts, and also just, like, everybody can be approached at different interesting angles, too.
I feel like any character here could be a player character is a thing I kind of like, you know? Like, in previous games, it's kind of, they've all kind of felt like, you know, like designated side characters and designated, and like, mm-hmm. you know, Hajime Hinata he's the player character. He has to be the player character because he's the everyman. And all the other characters, none of them could really, like, fill that role, you know? Like, if we took Hajime out of the equation, you know, you wouldn't really have anybody else to, you know, be the investigator here. But I kind of feel mm-hmm. like if you got rid of, like, Kaede and Shuichi, like,
Kaido would be,
Kaido.
Like,
yeah, like, he, Kaido also yeah. fills that role. You know, Rantaro filled that role until he died. You can make a strong argument for, like, even Ryoma being, like, even if my life is worthless, I'll make sure these other kids get out. I'll make sure these kids get out of here.
That'd be, yeah, that's sick.
Like, I think the only character, I think even Correggio, he's a freak. But, like, you could make the argument that, like, you know, you could sit him in the protagonist chair if you want him to be, like, out of pure curiosity, I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna get to the root of things. Because
mm-hmm.
this is a bizarre ritual to set up. Why would you do this?
If nothing else, this game definitely feels like a, like, execution on what they have what the character writers have claimed of previous Danganronpas, that is like, oh, we want every character to feel like the main character of their own story or of their own, like, game, and this feels like the most true execution of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of executions... Well, actually, mm-hmm. first, obviously your favorite character is Kokichi. Who's your second favorite this chapter, Jen? At least for this chapter. Hmm.
This chapter in particular?
Yeah. Who's the MVP?
Yeah, like, who'd you hang out with?
I think I ended up hanging out with, honestly, I ended up hanging out with Maki a little bit just because I enjoy how closed off she is in general. And the fact that she, I think she's the one that most pointedly does not like Kaede to a certain degree.
I hung out with, so you get 4 hangout times. I did 2 hangouts with Shuichi because, like, you know, he seems like, I kind of wanted to know his deal a little bit more. And I did 2 hangouts with Tenko. I was thinking of doing a hangout with Maki, but Tenko was right there, and I'm like, eh, I'm not picking.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get more opportunities. Also, Tenko, I feel like both of the times that I did that were after that scene in the warehouse with the where they're getting the materials for the camera, and Kaede lingers concerningly long on the shot putt. And I had a feeling that that the protagonist was going to shift real soon. I think Kaede might be the murderer. I know she's the point of view character, but there's too much, like, specific... You know, there were too many, like, specific moments of, like, you know, she is aware of something that would be used in this murder. And she is, like...
Yeah.
Like... arranging all of those books, pointing specifically at the vent, like, that's very worrisome. I kind of hope that she isn't the murderer. I hope she's not the murderer because, like, well, you know, like, I would like to continue having her be the protagonist because I think she's really good. But I am reasonably sure she set the murder up. I'm very interested in seeing how this ties into the rest of the game, like the rest of the chapter, mm-hmm. if not the rest of the game, because I kind of think that like I don't think they're gonna do it, but I think this would be a demented, like, a very interesting but fucking crazy opportunity to, like, open with the pretense of this being a Danganronpa game, and then, like, Kaede graduates. She makes it out. They did say the first kill was free, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if she bails, yeah. Might be interesting to have a game that's just kind of, like, that, like, shifts in genre, essentially, to be, like, trying to dismantle one of the killing games from outside. Though, we'll see. I don't know. It's also entirely possible she just gets executed.
I will say the one character that I did not like, and I will continue not to like it in general, is Angie Yonaga. Her whole thing where she's an islander who has this very specific god that she wants to do blood sacrifices to, at times feels like it's borderline racist, and as we spend more time with her, I don't think it gets better. I think it gets a little bit worse. See, even
I was surprised by kind of how mild it was in the first chapter with Anji. I kind of was expecting some full clan shit, but, like, she really does just kind of seem like a cultist, you know, like just like a regular, well, not like a regular cultist, but, like, she kind of seemed like, what's the name of that cult that that guy that Yamada shot Shinzo Abe in the back for, over?
I know exactly what you're talking about. The Moonies, yeah.
She seems kind of like she's meant to be, like, because, like, there are cult problems mm-hmm. in Japan and in Asia in general, where, like, you know, you have these alternative religions popping up and, like, exploiting the hell out of their members. And, like, I can kind of understand if Anji's meant to, like, satirize that. I don't think it's mm-hmm. very good satire. I don't think she's particularly interesting, and I think the Atua stuff is kind of annoying.
Yeah.
I am surprised. Like, also, but going into this, I thought she was going to be just straight up, like, Ooga Booga, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My god wants me to cannibalize you. You know?
Yeah, her art, like, her key art definitely, like, leans towards that. But also, to be clear, one thing, like, the Atua stuff, I think, is a localization choice, because in Japanese, she simply just says Kami-sama, which is just, like, a kind of catch-all word for god.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I was picking up on that. Like, I didn't know if it was in the Japanese text, but I noticed all of her barks were just, like, Kami-sama, or, you know, other things like that. It kills me because I like her design, and I like the mm-hmm. delivery of her lines.
Shoutouts to the one Anji cosplayer who helped me with my makeup, one Otakon. I forget your name, but like you were good. Shoutouts to her.
We love her. I don't know who she is, but you know,
I think I
hope Anji Yonaga actually ends up being great to vindicate this cosplayer.
Yeah, because she gave me actually from her makeup kit like setting spray that was half used, but she was like, "Here, use this."
You will about Anji Yonaga, but she is trans inclusive.
Yeah. That was a fun cosplay convention. Anyway, doesn't matter. What does matter?
So Kiri,
I hung out.
Yeah, okay. I was just about to ask, who'd you hang out with?
I hung out with Shuichi as well. I spent two of my hangouts with Shuichi, and then also two of my hangouts with Rentaro, because I knew I knew I wasn't gonna get another chance with Rentaro. I had to use my future knowledge.
You know you're fucked when you're in a killing game and the detective and the like protagonist chooses to hang out with you all day. That's like when fucking LeBron shows up to your hospital room and you're in the Make-A-Wish program. Like, your shit's fucked. You are so dying fucked tonight.
Yeah.
That's the problem with being asked whenever you ask us who we're hanging out with, because the instinctual thing for both Kiri and I to do is just, we know who's going to live and die, so...
I mean, so to be fair, like, whenever I ask that, like, it's after the character has already died.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have not been spoiled thus far. And I don't think anytime you've done... I don't think you've hung out with the killers. I don't think there's been an episode where, like, you've hung out with the killers the previous episode, and that's given me... First and foremost, I don't think there's been an episode where you hung out with the killers the previous episode. Brandon Flowers, notoriously difficult to get a hold of. I'm sorry, I could not resist. I have to make bad jokes or I will die. It's in my stipulation. LeBron James, that guy shows up in the fucking Grim Reaper.
But yeah, I really liked Rentaro's like deal is mostly like it's mostly his thoughts on like the killing game itself, and also just like he invites you to tea at some point, and he like says something along the lines of like, you know, a lot of people think I have, you know, these ulterior motives because I look this way and like I act this way. It's like, nah, just like he is like, I think Rentaro is like an interesting character just in general.
He's also a yaoi boy.
He is absolutely
he is the
a
most
yaoi boy.
Yaoi boy. I saw him and I was like, oh man. This guy, like, so here's the thing. He is also the type of yaoi boy that I just fucking adore. Like, I love him. Rentaro's design rocks. He's extremely a yaoi boy. I'm a big fan of Rentaro. It's a shame he took a ball to the head before he got some balls to his head.
That's true. And he's voiced by Hiro Yui, so it's like...
God.
Like, come on, man. Also, here's the thing.
I want to make him the second boy to fuck in a Gundam. Mikazuki is still the goat for that. I'm sorry. IBO, basically one of the best anime ever made, if only because Mikazuki can wear a big medal around his chest that says, first guy to fuck in a Gundam.
One thing though, like if you do his initial free time sequence, he asks you like, "What do you think? Who do you think is the most interesting person like here?" And I answered Kibo, and he goes on a little bit about like, "Huh, that is an interesting choice." And he talks about like the three laws of robotics and how he trusts Kibo on some level because he thinks like how if he was programmed maliciously, we would know this by now. Like,
I like that Rentaro is kind of the most deductive of the bunch. You mm-hmm. know, like he kind of is able to grok everyone's deal.
Oh yeah, like when Monokuma gives the first incentive, which is the like basically first kill is free perk. Like he immediately clocks, like, oh, you're trying to do a prisoner's dilemma thing, like right now. And is, like, immediately sees through, like Monokuma's like scheme.
Yeah.
Like, instantly.
I kind of feel like the we'll kill everyone was a bluff. Because like you don't go through the efforts of like kidnapping 16 extremely powerful people or extremely talented people, sticking them in a school together and sticking giant robots on them to like just shoot them. Like you don't have a hostage, you don't kill the hostage, you know? Like I think I definitely think that like if Kaede had not panicked and intervened, Rentaro would have just solved the we would have ended at chapter 1. This would have been a 1 maybe a 0.5 chapter game. Rentaro would have
which is the tragedy, right? It's kind of like I think about how like we've all seen Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood here, right?
Yeah.
Like
Mab. Yeah.
Yeah, FMAB. So like as you know, like this is pretty well known, Mace Hughes gets killed about I'd say less than a third of the way through the show. Like it's a pretty like it's a pretty iconic moment, but also it is this implication that like if Mace Hughes was able to complete the phone call that he was making, he solved the whole show. Like, that's why he was killed off in some way. Like, it wasn't just, like, it was a narrative tragedy, right? Had he lived,
I think
he would have figured it out.
Yeah, he would have figured it out. I kind of also love that, like, in Fullmetal Alchemist, Envy's decision to kill him, specifically, is extremely wrongheaded, because now, you know, Roy Mustang is now involved in this, you know? Mm-hmm. Because his subordinate and his dear friend is now dead. And if Envy was not a, you know, malicious little shit and decided to maybe solve this problem a different way, they would not have been exploded with extreme prejudice by the Flame Alchemist. They would not have their eyeballs burnt out of their sockets.
Which is so fucking cool. Roy Mustang is so scene. Fucking cool.
Fantastic fucking scene. I love when Envy turns into Mace Hughes and gets exploded again for it. Envy is just a really well-written antagonist. I am behind on Hiromu Arakawa's new manga, and I definitely need to read it because it seems that she's done it again. It seems that she's
really
out. She always balls out crazy ridiculous.
She does. She really does.
Yeah, even when she's writing slice of life manga Silver about farmer
great.
Schools.
Silver Spoon was great. That shit was fucking top notch.
But yeah,
I'm gonna say I wish I gave Maki more time because I was like, oh, I want to hang out with her, and I never did. And I do like her deal from what we've seen of her. I love that she's the ultimate child caregiver, and that's just like a title that's been thrust upon her. Like she does not like that shit at all. I like that she's an extremely not personable person. She's kind of a bitch, and I think that's great. I love characters who are kind of a bitch. I was expecting to like Miyu more. I kind of hate Miyu. I think she's really annoying. I was like, when I was first showing her, I'm like, oh, this is Power Chainsaw Man, and it's like, nope, that's not Power Chainsaw Man. She's just totally unsympathetic. She's kind of an asshole, you know.
She is like, the problem with Miyu is that, like, the thing that makes Power Chainsaw Man, like, work is that you do have that, like, bit of sympathy attached to her, right? Like, with Miyu, it's like, she has two modes. She's either making sex jokes all the time, or she is, you know, like, cowering, right?
I also feel like the lascivious nature of the jokes is also, like, kind of, like, not to sound like a Puritan here, and it's not because, you know, but it is annoying, you know? It is one of those things where it's like, you know,
it feels annoying without a point, you know?
Yeah, like, when Power does something, she never, like, you know, she never is like, oh, I'm, you know, Denji, you know, you probably don't fuck at all, ha ha ha, you know, except unlike me, I'm a master of sex. Power is just like, you know, yeah, Denji, you're an idiot, I'm a genius. Here's my plan to become president of the world by winning a Nobel Peace Prize, and then I'm going to make the tax rate 100%. Fuck you. And
like, I'm gonna take my invention to the Tokyo Patent Office, lol.
Yeah, and like, so like, Power being a dumb asshole is great. Miu being a dumb asshole, she just kind of scans as a dumb asshole. Like, mm-hmm. Which I'm sure there's gonna, I'm sure I'm gonna turn around on her before she gets viciously murdered. She is going to get viciously murdered. Well, I feel like I can point to like anyone on the cast and be like, she's gonna get viciously murdered. Like, I expect Maki to live through the fourth chapter.
I mean, the thing about like Danganronpa as a setup is that, you know, think about like the previous two games. How many survivors are there? There's like three or four, right?
Yeah, I mean, all of them survived in the last game. I think that's part of the problem, wasn't it? They're trying to stop. Yeah, they're like, oh man, they're all like super murderers. We're gonna make them not murderers. And nope. I think only one person died of that crew, and it was Chiaki. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like this is gonna be more like Danganronpa 1. I feel like people are gonna die for it. I absolutely think that who's gonna make it to the end. I think.
Any guesses?
I think Kokichi's gonna make it to the end. And I'll say Himiko, maybe? And if Shuichi ends up being the protagonist, he'll probably live. Otherwise, maybe, like, I have no fucking clue, actually. Maybe Tsumugi. I'm gonna be honest, all of these characters look like they might die.
Which is like a good place to be, because like in a game like this is like everybody's kinda on the table. Yeah, keep you guessing, everyone is on the table, basically.
And I think it does a really good job of, especially because like, you know, it foreshadows Kaede as the first murderer. It's like, trust no one, not even yourself, you know?
Exactly.
I am sorry if I'm correct and she is actually the first murderer. I hope I'm not spoiling anybody by being like Nostradamus here, but like, I do feel like it's well foreshadowed. Although if I'm wrong and it was somebody else, that would be insanely funny. That would kind of rock. Like Kaede being like, oh well, I thought about it, but I never did it, so somebody else must have. It turns out to be like Shuichi. God, that would actually be that would kind of ball out now that I think about it. Like they get you thinking like they do like a murder hat trick where it's like you're thinking like, oh, you know, because she's our POV character, we saw her linger on these things. I really hope Kaede didn't do this. And it's like, then like, you know, she didn't do it. So she's like trying to pat. So like, you know, focus shifts to like, well, what was Shuichi doing? And it's like, no, there's no way. He is the ultimate detective. There's no way that he was aware that Kaede was fucking with these things. And like, then turned around and realized that like, she was the easiest person in the world to patsy for the murder, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That might be tight. That would ball out. That would kind of go crazy ridiculous if, like, you know, if the ultimate detective was, in fact, the murderer. I don't know. I'm chewing on all this. I'm just spitballing. Yeah.
We'll figure it out definitely next time. I'm biting
the fart bubbles in the bath.
Anything can happen.
Because next time we will be covering the deadly life of Chapter 1 of Danganronpa V3.
Danganronpa, Rantaro gets up and is like, ha ha, I fooled you all. Ha, idiots.
I have a steel plate in my head.
I have a rubber plate in my head. The ball hit me and bounced right off. This was just pink ketchup from those 2000s Burger King promotionals. You fools. Anyway, Monokuma, I've baited you into a snafu. You've shown your hand here. Now you have to kill yourself. And then Danganronpa ends. Wow, weird. One chapter game. Who'da thunk?
Who'da
I can't
thunk
believe
it?
The rest of this was a first person shooter.
It switches to
it switches to a battle royale.
They've had several good fake out wait, is it just over now? Moments in this.
See, I kinda hope. Maybe. I kinda hope that I hope they fuck around with the format a lot because I feel like that would be funny.
Mm-hmm. Danganronpa is a very funny game.
Yeah, it's a pretty funny game. It's good shit.
It's good shit. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself.
It's a shame they had to kill all those people in real life to make it happen, though.
Yeah.
But, like, what are you gonna do?
I mean, you gotta make Danganronpa.
Yeah, like, you can't just not make Danganronpa. I mean, you're like, legally obligated to. You have a crowd to please, you know? Much like us with this Ultimate Despair Reprise. It is a shame that one of our mics is poisoned, and when this episode ends, there will be only two Despair Cast hosts left.
Wait, which one of us licks the mic?
Well, Jen, it certainly isn't me.
Wait, you two don't lick your mics? What did I go to the effort of poisoning these mics for? Are you kidding? Do you know how much it cost me to go down there for like literally like 5 minutes?
You've been living in the walls the whole time.
I have no money, Kiri. You better lick your mic. I gotta get returns, dog.
In one of the Ace Attorney games, there is a plot point about like, oh, there might have been poison here, but who would go and lick something like this? And then it turns out, actually, there was a reason for that.
Actually,
was that?
The
Wait,
victim was
what?
A weirdo.
Which Ace Attorney was that?
It's one of the great Ace Attorney cases.
Oh my god, I need to play these games.
Yeah, they're wilding out.
I think we are wilding out here.
I think we covered everything we need to cover. Let me just go through my notes real quick to see if there's any freak shit that, like, you know.
Yeah, check your notes. Jen, do you have anything else? Do you have anything else you want to say about the first part of Danganronpa V3?
I had some things in mind, but then I realized saying them during Deadly Life would be a lot more fun because I feel like different bits of this game's presentation, like the fact that the soundtrack has essentially been doubled compared to the previous games, and just the amount of artwork on display. Like, I feel like everyone in this game and people have worked on previous games are just killing it this time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Okay, like, I remembered what I wanted to say.
What was that?
Two scenes that I thought would really stand out. I liked the chase scene at the very beginning with the giant robots. I thought that was a very cute way of getting the player to do the thing that they were going to do anyway, but also to sell that this is a very different Danganronpa than what we've had previously. I also really like the magical girl transformation sequence that Kaede got. I think that's part of what really endeared me to her and what will make me just catastrophically upset if she dies, if and when. I really like the soundtrack. They did a good job. I think Rise and Shine Ursine is a great track. Segueing from that into this, I think it was like there's a great job on localization because like.
Oh yeah, when like there's a lot of really choice localization choices. Just in general, like, at one point, the Monocuds get into an argument, and they just, keep calling each other jabronis. Extremely funny.
It's you can so also good. Tell it is a game, you can timestamp when this localization was written, because they also talk about how, oh, my papa reads only the best fake news.
Oh, yeah. We love references to this 2016 election, don't we, folks?
Don't we? We love it.
also tying into my whole thing of like, this is Danganronpa 1 but run by like doddering incompetence, I love that the Monocubs are total pussies who freak out and bail when someone yells at them. Like, as opposed to Monokuma, who will stand his ground and make fun of you. Like, I remember Kaede yelled at one of them and, you know, was like, shut the fuck up.
I think it was Mono Kid.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, like Mono Kid was like being annoying and Kaede was like, shut the fuck up and get out of here. I'm gonna fuck your wife now. And Mono Kid was like, no, don't yell at me! And leaves. And it's great. And it's like, it's fucking top notch.
And then he gets drunk on honey.
He does. He gets rejected by a girl so bad he goes on like a multi-day bender. What a loser. This is the guy running your killing game. I honestly feel like this game might have been better without Monokuma, you know? Like, if Monokuma was just straight up not in it, and the Monocubs were there, like, instead, and you just... they were just a bunch of losers. Like, I think maybe that might... I might have liked that better. Because I like Monokuma, don't get me wrong. I don't hate Monokuma. I'm kind of neutral on him, conceptually. I think that, like... he doesn't really add anything here.
I will say that I think what they do with Monokuma in this game is very interesting. They do some stuff with him that hasn't been done in previous games. And I think having like the Monocubs to bounce off of like gives them a little bit more to do.
And also just like the Monocubs aren't really capable of menace the same way Monokuma is, so you kind of need that driving force of menace to move things along.
See, I feel like a lot of the menace comes from the cast towards themselves, you know? Like, I kind of think that, like, the lack of menace for the Monocubs, just their total incompetence, kind of works if, like, the through line is that, like, yeah, you are in this situation, like, you know, these guys fucking suck. They pose no threat to you. And yet here you are, still in the killing game, still eyeing everyone else's throats, thinking, is one of them gonna jump me? Should I kill them first? You know, like, maybe the Monocubs are right, that you are, you know, that you are, like, that you are worse, like, on the same level as them, you know? Or worse.
Yeah.
But I think with Monokuma here, it's just kind of like, you know, Monokuma's actually competent, capable of keeping the cast in line. And I think that's kind of a missed opportunity because that's the job that he had for the past two games. And, you know, don't necessarily need him to do that with a cast that's full of people who have, you know, relationships with death, you know, who have different relationships with death. Because, like, in previous games, they all kind of... nobody was a murderer, you know? Like, Ryoma has killed people, like, specifically before coming here, you know? And that's, like, a big point, is that, like, he's killed people, he's okay with dying. Other characters then also have relationships with, like, life and death. In contrast with that, like, Tenko is a martial artist. She practices Aikido. Martial arts... pointedly, you don't go into them you go into martial arts with the understanding that, like, you can seriously hurt somebody with this.
Yeah.
You know, you punch someone in the right place. You think about, like, a lot of deaths that come from, like, just, you know, drunk guys fighting outside a club. Someone throws a punch, the other guy goes down and cracks his skull on the sidewalk. Like, people are fragile. And I think, you know, Tenko would know that. And I think, I don't know, I think a lack of Monokuma would force the characters to have a more complicated relationship with life and death, with the killing game that they're in than they have. And I think that that can be, like, that can be the button to push, so to speak, that the Monocubs cannot push. And instead would be, like, demonstrating essentially how little pressure is required to get them to these states, or rather be like the assertion that it takes only a little pressure to get them to these states, that the cast has to fight against.
If, Right, because if the Mono Cubs, in their incompetence, are able to make the Killing Game happen, like, it speaks to...
What does
to...
that say about the participants?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a fairly good point.
I don't know. I'm just spitball. Again, I am just, like, I am just bullshit. I'm just throwing words out. I think it's entirely possible that, like, some of the things that I'm talking about will be, like... will be explored during the game, like, you know.
I think V3 is going to explore a lot of different territory, and I'm really excited to get through, like, the rest of this game, because it's a really fascinating and interesting game.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. Like, I'm already just thinking about the stuff that'll happen during Deadly Life, and I'm really excited for it, because... this game, above all the other Danganronpas, it's good at putting little ideas throughout the various ways characters talk with one another and paying them off in ways.
Yeah. I think Shuichi should have a funnier looking hat.
Like, you should have like a construction hat with like two sodas on the side.
Oh, you know, yeah, like the beer drinking cap. I think exactly. I think with the big 10-gallon hat, he'd look pretty funny.
Get him a fedora.
No, I
do think that that's something that Monokuma would do to fuck with him. Steal his hat.
The Monokuma
steal his hat. Make him wear a fedora. Shuichi, if you don't call Kaede Milady at least once, we're going to kill her.
Oh my god. And he just, like, it breaks out into a flop sweat.
Yeah, he's just like, no, I can't be cringe. Girls are watching. I can't. But if I don't, they'll kill her. Shuichi is a feminist. He's a feminist. He hates when girls die.
Just found out about the Killing Game. Damn.
Ah, damn.
But I think that's it for this episode of Ultimate Despair Reprise. Jen, where can people find you on the internet?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at JBU3. I mostly post on co-host as Jen-and-Aster, but you can check out all of my writing and most of my podcast work between scanlinemedia.com and patreon.com/scanlinemedia.
And Jackie, what about you?
I am your lizard friend on co-host, Twitter, Blue Sky, soon Twitch again. At some point, I'm planning a redebut once I get my model done.
You have unified your brand.
I have unified my brand. I'm actually not super satisfied with my handle. I gotta either figure out if I'm keeping it or if I'm changing it, but it's where I am at the moment.
Now.
Maybe if you're listening to this, like, you know, 5 years in the future, you'll be like, oh, haha, so that's what her old handle was? Weird, because she's as an entirely different brand now. Or maybe you'll be like, wow, she's had that handle for a long time. Or maybe you'll be like, wow, in the ruins of society, they listened to these sorts of podcasts. I need to show my conclave of Wasteland Raiders.
I need to bring these bird CDs of Ultimate Despair Reprise to my...
The elders must know.
This is the thing
that we once danged Ranpa. There was once Ranpa free in these fields, and Lord, my Lord, we danged it. We danged it day and night.
Well, until that inevitable apocalypse, you can find me... You can find me on Twitter at Kyrie A page, and you can find me on co-host at Kyrie A page, no A in the middle there, and you can find my work on scanlinemedia.com and patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Folks, that'll be it for now.
You can find yourself in a shotgun shack. You can find yourself at the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself,
and you may find
wondering,
yourself
how
wondering,
did I get here?
How did I get here? I've been Kyrie.
I've been Jennifer.
I've been slowly going insane.
Class dismissed.
See ya.
the world won't give the answers, only rewards.